Excited to share God's word with you tonight. And we'll do, like I said, camo stuff at the end. That should be really fun. But tonight I want to talk to you about the worst haircut ever. And don't nobody say my haircut that I have on my head. It's not Jake. The guy we're going to talk about from the Bible today, his name is Samson. Everybody say Samson. All right. All right, hey, before we get to Samson, I want to talk about some other haircuts through the course of time. He's going to have to wait. Sorry. All right, some other haircuts through the course of time. There have been some interesting haircuts over the decades. All right, so on the left, we see the 70s. A lot of straight hair, like coming down over the face, like the Beatles, got afros and all that. The 80s, they just tried so hard to be edgy in the 80s. Charity loves that decade. I'm going to be very careful not to knock the 80s too bad. The 80s were good, you know. In the 90s, everything got poofy. And sorry, my picture turned out grainy here, but on the bottom, you see, that was my haircut in 1991. Spiky hair was really important. I wanted to be like Bart Simpson. And so I had spiky hair, and then I had these lines going through the side because Vanilla Ice was a rapper, and he had that in his hair, and I wanted to be like Vanilla Ice. And then you got the poofy hair. I mean, come on. Some of the adult leaders in here remember glamour shots. Y'all remember those being a thing? Like this, some of the poofy hair and glamour shots and all that. All right, you can go to the next one. And these are timeless. These aren't bound to a decade. The mullet lives. If we have any mullets in the house, we got to fix that. Hey, kind of. Here's the deal. People in school, here's your assignment from, well, I don't want to say from the Lord, but your assignment is to go invite someone with a mullet to come to church. All right, or anybody, but they have a mullet. That'd be really awesome. All right, the bowl cut. I had a bowl cut as a kid. When your family doesn't have much money sometimes, they would literally put a bowl on top of your head and cut around the bowl. And I have had a bowl cut before. And then the bowl of noodles. Shout out, Caleb. Kind of bowl of noodles a little bit, but Timberlake back in the day, he had the actual like ramen noodle haircut going. Jake, a little bit of ramen noodle up there. All right, so those are some haircuts over the years. But tonight, we're not going to talk about those haircuts. We're going to talk about Samson's worst haircut ever. I'm going to share two things that are really important. Number one, compromise will cost you. And number two, but God can restore you. And Samson's story teaches us both of these things. It is a wild story. Samson's story of Samson is really wild, and it's really a lot to read through because it covers for Judges 13 to 16, three chapters. I'm going to kind of talk through the story, and then we'll have some scripture up on the screen in a little bit, but it covers three chapters. And so the book of Judges, just to cover a little background, it was a crazy time, and really it's a time that the Bible describes as everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And what that means is basically people all just made this decision. All right, God's got a way he wants me to live, but I'm going to make my own assessment and think, no, I kind of want to just do this instead. And to me, it sounds a little similar today. You hear people say, you do you. That's kind of the same thing, right? You do you, or everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The book of Judges is a really dark time. There's some crazy stuff in the book of Judges because people, God was ever here. They're just like, whatever, I'm going to do what I want. And God had to let them go through stuff and get their attention. And then eventually they were like, God, help us, please. And he would send these judges to help them. So when times are dark, God often shows up to bring light. That's part of what I want to tell you today is that in the book of Judges, things were dark. God brought light. And a lot of times he did that through sending people. And in our world today, 2025, you do you, or everyone kind of is doing what's right in their own eyes. People need the light of Jesus. And one thing that hasn't changed is when God wants to bring light to a situation, he uses people. And he wants to use you in your schools. He wants to use you in your friendships, in your families. He wants to bring light, and he wants to do it through you. Okay? Book of Judges, that was going on. He would raise up these people, and they were called judges. Samson was one of those judges, and Samson is a fascinating dude. An angel actually showed up to his parents before he was even born and said, listen, Samson, this baby in your belly, he's going to do great things for God, but you got to set his life apart. his life can't be like everyone else's around him. So there's a few things you got to do. God gave them instructions, and the instructions were he was to be set apart. That means like not like the other people, doing a few things. One of those things was he was not supposed to shave his head. And the whole idea was that by not shaving his head, by not doing some of these other things, it was like an outward sign of what was supposed to be going on in his heart. Because his heart was supposed to be that in love with God, that devoted to God, that separate from all the stuff God didn't want. And so the hair not being cut was a sign of that. So that's exactly what happened. They didn't cut his hair his whole life. And here's what's crazy. What happened is Samson gained this crazy strength, like this crazy superhuman strength. What's even crazier is that he didn't look muscular. A lot of people, like Bible scholars, they believe that he just looked like a normal guy. So imagine a normal guy walking around, but like Hulk strength, like crazy, like unlike anybody you could imagine, like miracle type strength, okay? Not like anybody you've ever known, but it just looked like a normal guy. And that's what God did in his life. So one thing that tells me is that God can place whatever abilities he wants on your life to do the purpose that he has for you. A lot of times we think, you know, I have to come from a family with money. I have to be popular. I have to look a certain way or talk a certain way or be outgoing for God to use me. That is not true. Samson looked normal, but he was so committed to God. God used him. It didn't matter what he had on his own or didn't have on his own. His commitment to God is what gave him the strength that he had and allowed him to be used by God the way that he was. Same thing is true for every one of you. You don't have to look a certain way, be from a certain family. You don't have to be a certain height. You don't have to be 6'7" in order for God to use you, you don't have to have any of that. You just have to have a heart. Seriously, guys, you have to have a heart that is surrendered to God and says, God, here I am. Just take what I have. And watch what he'll do with that. And watch how he will use you. All right? And that's what he did for Samson. Samson was dedicated to the Lord all the way up to a certain point. It looks like he had really done everything God asked him to do. He had avoided the stuff he was supposed to avoid. But what we find in Samson's life is that there was about to be a point where he starts making these decisions that were less about God and more about himself. He made a compromise. A compromise is when you know God wants you to do one thing, but you try to bend the rules, or you try to like get away from the rules a little bit and kind of do your own thing, kind of get around it. You know, God wants me to, you know, be honest, not cheat on a test, but I can get this 2 or 3 answers. I'm going to compromise, right? A lot of times compromise doesn't look big at first. It's a small thing that the enemy tempts you to do, and you kind of give in a little bit. Samson began to make compromises, and here's how it started for him. Samson had a weakness, all right? And the weakness was women. And so Samson ended up wanting to marry this lady who was a Philistine. And the Philistines were not good people. So you got God's people. They had certain ways they believed. They believed in the one true God, the same God we follow. Philistines, they would make up these gods they would carve something out of wood and call it a god. They would worship all these random things. And they did not like Samson's people, the Israelites. They were always at war and had feuds going on with them, and it was nasty. But Samson decided he was going to fall in love with a Philistine. God had specifically told his people, don't go and marry Philistines. Don't go and marry the nations around you because your heart's supposed to be set apart. And that was for all Israelites, let alone Samson. It was really supposed to be set apart. He falls in love with this woman. He's supposed to marry her, and something really wild. This is where the story starts getting really all over the place. The Philistines decide, we're going to get Samson. And they end up, before they get married, giving the wife away to his friend, like his best friend. And his friend marries her. Samson just gets so upset. He gets mad, and he goes, he like torches their fields with all their crops in it. Starts setting them all on fire. He's so mad. And so the Philistines, it gets really dark, the story does. They actually go and they kill this woman. They kill her and her whole family. And so you imagine Samson, this is the woman he loved, and now she's gone. And so he's just like losing his mind. He goes, he lives in a cave for a while, and then they end up having more like encounters with each other. He does some things to the Philistines. They do some things to him. He's living in this cave. They go back and forth. And just all this chaos starts unfolding. Fast forward more. The Philistines wanted to trap Samson. And they knew a place he was going to be. And they trap him. They think they have him. He sneaks out through a window, though. He was okay. So he was good. But here's the bad part. He was not in a place he was supposed to be. And I won't go into detail, but he was with a female who was a Philistine again, and he was visiting a woman he should not be visiting. You can go open your Bibles and read it in Judges 13 to 16 to see what I'm talking about. He had made another poor relationship decision. All right? So first time, all right, there's a hiccup. We all make hiccups. Second time, all right, there's another mistake in the same exact area. We see a pattern unfolding in Samson's life. We start to see this pattern kind of unfolding, right? And so I believe, you know, God allows us, we don't get every detail of every story, but in that story, that most recent one, where he's with somebody he shouldn't be with, God wants us to see that detail that was in there, to see that Samson had this incredible gift, right? Who wouldn't love to be that strong? I would love to have that, right? This incredible gift, but he was making compromises. Despite having that gift, he was making decision after decision to put himself in a bad spot. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to stop right here and say, listen, it is so important, like, to pick the right person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, that even you're going to date. And sometimes this temptation comes up that where you want to say, you know what, they're not a believer, but they sure do look good, you know. And you go and you want to date somebody who's not a Christian. We see the story of Samson. We see other stories all throughout the Bible. And then we have the New Testament, right, instructing us to not be unequally yoked. Or in other words, don't join up with somebody in a romantic relationship who is not a believer in Jesus, who is not following Jesus. Because your life is going one direction toward God, their life's going the other direction. And what happens is we think we can pull them up to where we are, right? That's what happens a lot of times. Oh, I'm going to help them know Jesus. And then what usually happens is they pull us down to where they are. Bad decisions start happening. And next thing you know, we start going off a direction God does not want for our lives because we made a relationship decision that did not put Jesus first. And so I want to encourage you all, be careful about who you date. Be careful about who you talk to and even start flirting with. Make sure they love Jesus and that Jesus is number one in their life, all right? It's really important here. Back to Samson, all right? All right, so back to Samson. He didn't know this, but then he ends up finding someone else named Delilah. And what he didn't know, he meets this woman, Delilah. The third time now, he gets with a Philistine woman and falls in love with her. What he didn't know, was getting to there, is that the Philistines had paid Delilah this crazy amount of money to trap him. So she's all acting like she really likes him and wants to be with him. Nope. She was paid off to try to get the secret because the Philistines knew by this time they've been through so many battles with Samson. He single-handedly has taken out like multitudes of these Philistines by himself with his strength. And they're like, we got to stop this guy. How are we going to do it? Let's hire Delilah and get her to kind of swoon him and see if she can get the secret. And so what happened is she started every single night, started talking sweet to him and everything, trying to get him to go to sleep and all of that, and saying, what's your secret, you know, all of that. And he starts telling her fake things. So he says, you know, he makes up stuff. You know, if you tie me up with two different kinds of ropes, yeah, I'm toast. And so he goes to sleep that night. She ties him up with two different kinds of ropes, and then she calls in the Philistine, all the soldiers, the buff dudes, and they're like, we got him. He breaks out of it, beats them all up, and runs off. And here's what's crazy, right? So it's obvious what she's doing. He comes back to her, and the next night, the same thing happens. Like, dude, how dumb can you be, right? But listen, he had compromised a little bit over time. If we compromise a little bit over time, eventually we get blind. We get spiritually blind. Samson had become spiritually blinded. And so then finally what happens? This went on time after time. Samson finally gives up and he gives in. This is what we see in Judges chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said. Because I've been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb, if my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. So Samson, he just got tired of hearing it. He said he was sick to death of her asking this secret. You know, here's the thing, though. He could have just left. If he was so tired of hearing it from her, he could have just bailed and said, all right, peace out. I'm going back to Israel where I don't have to hear this from you. But he so wanted the best of both worlds, okay? He wanted to have God. He wanted to have his hair and the gifts God gave him, his strength, and he wanted to have his sin. He wanted to have his cake and eat it too. So many times we can get pulled into that where it's like, man, I want to have the best of church. I want to be a Sunday Christian. I want to have all of that, but I'm going to run with this crowd, even though I know they're not good for me. And sometimes we legit struggle. Sometimes we need help getting out of that, right? So I'm not condemning anybody here, and there's hope at the end of this message I'm going to tell you, all right? But listen, trying to have the best of both worlds, we're going to be miserable. I've been in it. I've told you guys some of that stuff. As a teenager, I tried to go both directions at the same time, and I was so miserable with it. Pick Jesus and run with him. I'm telling you, you'll be way better off for it. Samson didn't do that. He tried to have the best of both worlds. He tells his secret, and then it gets really sad for Samson. He traded this vow that he had made to God for a relationship with a woman who didn't even love him, right? He didn't make that choice overnight. It was little choice by little choice by little choice, and that commitment to God got worn down. And so Samson's compromise was costly because, listen, compromise will cost us, all right? So this is really where we can see the story of Samson, like a cautionary tale to us, how small decisions can add up over a long period of time. And what happens next, he tells that secret. His hair is cut as he sleeps, right? She actually cuts the hair, of course. Sure enough, the same thing that happened the last previous couple nights comes in. The people come in. They attack him. Samson gets up. He thinks he's just going to fight them off. His strength was gone. It's really sad. They take Samson. They gouge out his eyes. It's really gross. Told his story is wild. He goes blind. They put him in a dungeon prison, and that's where he is. They would actually bring him out for parties, the Philistines would, just to like point and laugh at him and humiliate him and taunt him and say like, hey, why don't you break this thing for us since you're so strong? And he couldn't do it. And so he's sitting there getting taunted. He lost all of his strength. And it's just a really, 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 really sad tale because compromise costed him. It costed him everything. What happened to Samson can be true for us today. If we make decisions that are all for us and we keep making compromise after compromise after compromise, what happens is we get our spirit and our heart for God get worn down over time. And before you know it, our life is characterized by all these decisions that aren't for him, and we lose our strength. We lose our strength for the battle. It's like our hair gets cut, and we lose our strength because compromise will cost you. And the enemy, listen, this is what Bible verse says. It says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what that means is this. Every single one of you, you have a plan from God in your life. You have a calling to do great things for God in your life. And in order for you to do that, he's going to equip you. He's going to put things in your life that you don't even see yet. He's going to like draw out these gifts and abilities in you one day if you're following him and walking with him. If you're not living a life of compromise, he'll do that. But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That means he's going to sneak in and he's going to say, how can I get them off the path that God has? How can I get them to compromise? Because the compromise is what will cost you. How can I get them looking at things they shouldn't look at? How can I get them to get in relationships they shouldn't be in? How can I get them in a pattern of lying and stealing? That's what the enemy's going to come and try to tempt you to do. And that list can go on and on and on. We found Samson had that one weakness, which was relationships. And he compromised. One bad decision led to another bad decision. And so, listen, the dangers of compromising were just as true for us today as they were for Samson. It will absolutely cost us. But I want to share with you that not all is lost, all right? And so even though that will cost us, God has a plan for our life, and there's some good news. God can restore you. Thankfully, Samson's story did not end right there. His story was not over. And I really believe that if God can restore someone like Samson, he can restore any of us today. Samson's story, it didn't end with a failure, all right? We left off, he was in a dungeon, he was blind, he was in prison, they were making fun of him, but that's not where his story ended. This is what we see in Judges 16:22. But the hair on his head began to grow after it had been shaved. Samson's hair grew back. And so that symbolic thing of the hair being cut off, remember, it symbolized things, right? It symbolized his commitment to God. It symbolized God's protection over him. It symbolized the strength and the gifts that God gave him. And in one day, it got cut off. And if that's where the story ended, what a tragic story. But what we see is that his hair grew back. And when his hair grew back, his strength grew back with it. And so here's what happened. In Judges 16:28, they bring out Samson again like the other times, right? And they're going to make fun of him. There's this big Philistine party. They got him out there, and Samson's hair grown back. And they hadn't thought about that. They just thought it was the same old blind, weak, useless Samson. But something was about to change. Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." So Samson had made that choice after choice that had displeased God. And I think it's important in this story to know that compromise will cost you. But if you've compromised today, if you've made that compromise and you've walked away you shouldn't, there is hope for you. Because here's what happened. Samson, God answered his prayer. He got between two pillars and he pushed and the strength came back. And he felt that strength come back. And he pushed these two pillars against both of them. And this whole structure where everybody was completely fell down, and he got revenge on the Philistines in just one push with his arms, because his strength had come back. And what God wants to tell you today, you may have compromised. You may have made decisions you shouldn't have made. You may feel like you just ruined it. You may feel like you fumbled the bag. Listen, God is with you. God can pull you out no matter what it's costed you today. God can restore you. If he could restore Samson, a guy who had everything and he wasted all of it, God can restore you. If you feel like that's you, where it's like, man, I've given everything up and I shouldn't have done what I've done, it's not the end of your story. It wasn't the end of Samson's story. His hair grew back. His strength grew back. God can restore your love for him. God can put back in you a heart to serve him. God can put back in you a desire to do the right thing. Just because you may have given that stuff up doesn't mean it's gone forever. The enemy would love for you to believe that figuratively your hair can't grow back, that in other words, you can't gain your strength back. But God wants you to know today that compromise might have costed you stuff, but God can give it back. God can bring back what you feel like you might have lost. And so we're going to all stand up here together today. I would ask that everybody just keep their eyes closed. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do a couple of different altar calls today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word of Samson. We thank you, God, for a story that should caution all of us to make sure we're making the right decisions and not compromising, but also a story that brings us hope. Hope that even though we may have gone the wrong direction, God, you can bring us back and forgive us. You can restore us. And I ask that in this room today, that this word would just spark something in people who needed to hear it. That God, they would grab onto this thing and know that you are the same, that you want to restore them today. And so with all the eyes closed, nobody looking around, I just want to ask for a show of hands if there's anyone out there today, and maybe you feel like you've made some decisions like Samson did. You've compromised. You've kind of walked away a little bit by little bit by little bit, decisions that you've made that don't please God, and you know it's costing you. Just raise your hand. I see some hands up. Awesome. Thank you guys for being honest. I'm going to ask adult leaders. We're going to go to the sides. Go to the sides of the room if you're an adult leader. And we're going to be there to pray for people. And you can go to either side. It doesn't matter. Thank you all for raising your hands. And I'm going to ask if you raised your hand, if you would just find an adult leader on the side of the room and just go to them right now. And let them pray over you and pray with you. And there might be two people at one leader. You guys can take turns. They can pray for you individually. And then I want to ask for everyone else. You can just close your eyes again. God, just thank you for all of these that are still here. And I ask for every single one of them. They may not be feel like they're in that spot today where they're already in a place of compromise. But God, we are not so arrogant to believe that temptation won't come and it can't knock us down. And so I ask, God, as we all find a place to pray in a minute, I just ask that you would surround every person here and give them strength for every battle that's coming up and help us not compromise. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask whoever's in your chairs, everybody just come on up, find a place to pray. And let the focus of your prayer be whatever's on your heart, or if there's nothing on your heart, ask that God would just protect you from compromise.